Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
Take a moment and follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Be sure to hit subscribe when you're there. It would be greatly appreciated. Jennifer Say is here to tell us, where America really stands on Sydney Sweeney. I'm gonna guess it's positive, at least unless you're a weird person on the left. We'll also take a look at how beauty pageants have evolved in the last 15 years. This is a bizarre story, but we've come a long way. We've come a long way, apparently. We're going to start, though, by doing shutdown theater. Yes, it's unfortunate. The curtains are closing on shutdown theater. I hope you got to see part of the show. It was so exciting over the past 40-something days. Senate clears key hurdle toward ending government shutdown. Vote was 60-40 on a measure to take up House pass spending legislation that required 60 votes under the Senate's filibuster procedures. 8 members of the Democrats joined almost all Republicans in voting in favor, allowing the bill to move forward after more than a dozen failed votes since September. Senate's big step is next to amend the measure, send it back to GOP-led House. That can't happen unless the Senate unanimously agrees to dispense with other procedural steps that would delay action. So there'll be some delays here. It's pretty clear that this will just be over with eventually. Which I guess is good for everybody. Personally, my mind is a shutdown government is a better size of government. And if what they're doing is keeping essential workers around, we should consider having a government of only essential workers. You know, people doing work that's essential, like that should actually be where our tax dollars go. My version of what's essential and yours may vary drastically. But like we should at least be able to agree that only the people that are essential we should be paying for, right? Like, I thought that's where we were. Apparently not. And who's to blame for this? I mentioned this. You can go check this out. I think it's my pinned tweet on Twitter. But I wanted to set this scene one last time here because we've seen the blame game get thrown around a lot. This is what actually happened here. In case you weren't following it, this is what actually happened. Democrats voted for a spending plan. Republicans, against my wishes, by the way, want to continue spending at the same levels we're already spending, which, by the way, I would note are ridiculous. But Democrats voted no. They said you can't continue the spending plan that we passed. Why did they not want that to happen? Well, Democrats wanted to continue pandemic-era subsidies. Well, why are those pandemic-era subsidies expiring? Well, because Democrats voted for a law that required them to expire. This wasn't a Republican cut. This is something that was built into the law Democrats voted for. Well, why do we need subsidies in the first place? Well, that's because of the previous design of a major health care plan you might remember did not actually achieve the promised savings. So now everyone's saying the costs are too high. But who designed the original plan? That's now the scary, terrible, awful alternative to what we have. Well, Democrats did that too. Who should we blame for all of this? You guessed it. Republicans? I don't understand. It had almost nothing to do with this. The whole storyline of it is out of their control completely, but we should apparently blame them. Now, there were 8 Democrats that voted to end the shutdown, and let's get their names out there so we can get really mad at them and tweet. No, I'm sorry, not tweet. Blue Sky things against them. We have Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada, Dick Durbin of Illinois, John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, who was doing this, by the way, he was voting for it the entire time, Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire, Tim Kaine of Virginia, Angus King of Maine, Jackie Rosen of Nevada, and Jean Shaheen of New Hampshire. Now, why that group? Why that group? Well, there's a couple things that are pretty significant about that group. There are obvious threads connecting the group who broke partisan impasse this time. Some of them helped broker the agreement with Republicans over the opposition of Schumer and most other Democrats who wanted a guaranteed extension for expiring federal health insurance subsidies. Most, but not all, were previously held state-level office. Is that it? Not really. Former governors, okay. Most, but not all, come from presidential swing states. Okay, maybe that has something to do with it. Two have announced that they're retiring. That sounds pretty interesting. Retiring from the Senate after their current terms end. And two are senior members of the Senate Appropriations Committee. But then we get to the real feature here. None of them are up for re-election in 2026. The first time they come up is 2028. Plenty of time for everybody to forget about their betrayal. Tim Kaine is one of these senators who voted for the reopening of the government. And he was asked, like, hey, like, why didn't you do this before? His answer was quite revealing. Listen.
Do you wish that you would have started looking for this off-ramp sooner? You said that Republicans were never going to change in their position.
I didn't fully understand how dug in they were, again, because I was so focused on the Virginia elections. I wasn't in this discussion on the health care to see how dug in they were.
That makes a lot of sense. He didn't pursue this before because he was so focused on the Virginia elections that he didn't even bother to get involved in the health care talks at all. Kind of revealing. Oh, my God, he admits it. All right. Interesting. Let's get back into that here in a second. By the way, we have Jim Garrity. Dems finally fold in pointless shutdown fight. I'm sure some Democrats eager to put lipstick on a pig will argue that the longest federal government shutdown in history added to the perception of disarray in Washington and made Americans more frustrated with Republicans just in time for Election Day 2025. Had the federal government shutdown never started, it's likely the only thing that would have changed on Election Day 2025 was the margin of Democratic victory, not who won the races. I and other students of the not-so-distant history keep pointing this out. No one ever wins a government shutdown fight. Whatever the polling advantage a party gets in the who do you blame more question evaporates rapidly. The news cycle and the public's attention move on to other issues. No legislator or president comes out of a shutdown fight looking stronger, smarter, or more reassuring. The whole thing is just a disruptive mess, and most Americans end up thinking more poorly of both parties. Well, that's certainly true from Jim Garrity. Also, I would say it's true for almost every story we cover at this point. People just hate both sides equally, or maybe even more. Here is Chuck Schumer. Now, remember, Schumer approved to go ahead with normal spending levels and then got beat up by his own party. And people like AOC are rumored to want to primary him next time. And Chuck Schumer wants nothing more than to keep this job till the literal day that he dies. So he was very upset about that. This time came out very angry, needed the shutdown, needed health care or something, whatever we're going to say. What do we need to say? What do we need to say to get through this moment? Well, Chuck came out and he is very, very angry that these senators, they just folded. And he's so upset about it. Listen to how upset he is.
So in conclusion, the contrast between the two parties is crystal clear. Republicans are the party hell-bent on taking people's health care away, all to bow to the billionaire elite and special interests. Democrats are united as the party of lower health care costs and improving our health care system. We will not give up this fight. We will deliver for the American people. I yield the floor.
Now, this version of theater is not exactly Broadway. We're at community theater here. This is bad acting with awful, 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 awful actors. And Chuck Schumer is certainly one of them. And I will say his angry, we're going to deliver on health care thing that he tried at the end there did not make the left any happier with him. Senate Democrats just made a huge mistake. This is from The Atlantic. Democrats could have held the line on the shutdown, spent weeks watching Trump's approval ratings fall while war breaks out between pro-filibuster Republican senators and the president and his loyalists. This would have produced a better and more Democratic ultimate outcome. But if you truly believe that Trump poses an existential threat to the Republic, however, this is the kind of ruthless maneuver you would undertake. Trump has already caused and will continue causing horrific outcomes for vulnerable Americans. Democrats may have been more surprised than anybody to discover their shutdown strategy was actually drawing political blood. Their instinct was to withdraw the knife anyway. It's fascinating. To me, it would seem that if you really thought Trump was an existential threat to the Republic, you wouldn't want the filibuster to go away. Because that just is a stop. There's a check, there's balances. This is one of them, a key one, that doesn't let Donald Trump get away with everything that you say he wants to do as a tyrant. But you want that to go away, which is fascinating, because that is something that could have happened here. I disagreed with some people on the right that I like who were arguing for a filibuster to go away. I don't want to be the one doing that. You know, Democrats didn't do it. Everyone keeps saying, well, they're going to do it. Well, they might do it. They didn't do it last time. And, you know, I think holding that line as long as possible, I think, is the right thing, frankly. But, your mileage may vary on that. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, in a statement on Sunday night, suggested the bill fails to decisively address the Republican health care crisis. This is just, again, him spouting the same five that he is terrible at this. It is unreal how bad he is. We will not support spending legislation advanced by Senate Republicans that fails to extend the Affordable Care Act tax credits. Of course he will. He won't, but the House will, and it doesn't matter what he thinks because he doesn't have the votes. That's the problem. Gavin Newsom, always looking for more attention for himself. Let's give him some. Tonight's Senate vote on the federal government shutdown should have been a time for strength. Instead, we saw capitulation and a betrayal of working Americans. The American people need more from their leaders. So there you have it. Gavin Newsom says Democrats have betrayed American workers. Sad. Sad that he would notice that. Here's Bernie Sanders blabbing about this as well.
Tonight, eight Democrats voted with the Republicans to allow them to go forward
on this
continuing resolution. And to my mind, this was a very, very bad vote.
As opposed to him, he's normally so happy about everything going on.
What it does, first of all, is it raises health care premiums for over 20 million Americans by doubling, and in some cases, tripling or quadrupling.
We've already talked about this. Not
when
true.
We're already paying the highest prices in the world.
All right, stop. Okay, so, you know, he blabs on and on and on and on. We went over the healthcare stuff before. That really has nothing to do with why they were doing this. But if you want to choose to believe that, we already went through all those numbers. Again, you are talking, but there are some people who will have their healthcare costs go up. They will go up to the Democratic plan of Obamacare as originally passed. An important part of where they will go. They're going to go to a Democrat plan that now Democrats are saying are too expensive. It was called, I might remind you, the Affordable Care Act. Remember that next time they're pitching affordability in an election. Now, everyone's saying like, oh, gosh, you know, the Democrats are very much on this. They can't believe this is catastrophic. They folded. And I guess I kind of get that from some of them. Some of them really wanted the chaos, and why give in to the chaos? At the end of the day, I think this is pretty much consistent with what Democrats wanted. I would tend to agree that, you know, they had some specific aims here. They knew they were never going to get hundreds of billions of dollars in health care benefits. Sure, they got Marjorie Taylor Greene and a couple of other Republicans to I guess, you know, fold to that. But generally speaking, you're not going to get much. You're not going to get hundreds of billions of dollars. Donald Trump's not going to approve that. He didn't approve it. I thought they might be going after the filibuster, but they didn't hold out for that. That would have been another thing. And you see Jonathan Chait kind of mentioned that. But they were never going to get all this going on. What they did have is an election. And, you know, Jim Garrity mentioned this a little bit, but I think maybe I think there's a little bit more to it than his case illuminated. Because while it's probably true, it wasn't the difference in the elections that we saw. It probably did make a difference. And of course, they don't know what the election margins are going to be in advance. What they saw was an opportunity in close elections to have in blue states an opportunity to get a few extra votes. I mean, Virginia is a good example of this, where lots of people were out of work because they all worked in D.C. and the federal government was shut down. They're all sitting at home. They're angry about what's going on. And all you have to do to make this calculation is say, well, where are our elections? Almost exclusively in blue states. How are blue states going to translate the shutdown? You know, the media does everything they can to make sure Republicans are responsible for the shutdown. Despite all the stuff I mentioned, despite the fact that Democrats are responsible for the budget, they're responsible for the subsidies expiring, they're responsible for the plan that was the backbone of the pre-subsidy era that they're now saying is so terrible, when before they said it was going to solve all our healthcare problems. That's all them. But they knew, in blue states in particular, this would be taken as a Republican problem. And I do think it moved some votes. Now, it's easy to look back now and say, well, they won by 14 points in Virginia, so it probably wasn't the difference. And I would tend to agree with that. It probably was mostly the margin. But, you know, they also could have won the election by 3 points or 2 points or 1 point. And it very well could have been the difference in the election. I think this is what they wanted to do. Chuck Schumer gets to say, I'm tough. Look at me. Don't primary me, AOC. I don't know if it's going to work, but he gets to say that. The Democrats win an election in a bunch of blue states. And I don't, you know, eventually, you know, this is going to come down to their success here is going to come down to whether, you know, Chuck Schumer gets primaried, I guess, eventually. At the end of the day, you know, the left used this to help win elections, maybe just expand the majority or the amount that they won, but that's still, there's nothing, you know, nothing, that's not, not anything to shake a stick at. And remember, too, there were also delegate elections and lower level elections that may have switched because of this. The backlash and the meltdown today is manufactured for theater. This is to entertain you. This is to give some sort of idea that they are really angry. The left, the far left, will give them what they want. What do those people want? They want to see that we're all angry about it. We'll give them the anger. And then the people in the middle in the purple states that aren't up for election for a while, they can make the argument that we were the ones working together. We were working across the aisle. We don't care about what our party thinks. We care about what you think. Everybody gets what they want here. Republicans, for their credit, don't really give up much of anything other than hiring a bunch of people back that they just fired, which is kind of annoying, but also not that big of a deal, I suppose. Of course, all these people are going to wind up getting paid for the work that they were, I guess, laid off for. And it's a bizarre thing that we do. We give back pay to people for multiple weeks of not doing a job that was not essential. And that's a DC trick, if you've ever heard of one before. But it did remind me of when all the theater comes down, it reminded me of, and I, this once a year, I have to play this for you because it always it comes to my mind quite often. The song from Remy on Reason called People Will Die. And the reason I bring this up is because this is the theater that's going on. I mean, think about this. Democrats are angry today because they reopened the government. At the same time, they were telling us kids were starving. They were telling us that people were out of their jobs and losing their homes and all these terrible things. And no one had health care, for God's sake. And now they're upset. They're angry that government is reopening. You think it would be the exact opposite. It's all theater, and this is how it plays out on a day-to-day basis.
These cuts are blood money. People will die. Let's be very clear. Senate Republicans are paying for tax cuts for the wealthy with American lives.
People need kidneys. It's sad but decreed. Yet the senator's hoarding one more than she needs. I offer this bill and I hope you'll vote aye. Unless, of course, you just want people to die. Traffic deaths have many crying with fear. Over 30,000 people are dying each year. This modest change I propose must be applied. Unless, of course, you just want people to die. Alcohol deaths are exceeding comparisons. Black people, white people, Native Americans. We need to ban alcohol. It can't be denied. Unless, of course, you just want people to die. Murders are bad. They have no defenders, yet many are committed by repeat offenders. I say lifetime in prison, whatever the crime. Unless, of course, you just want people to die. I don't have a bill or a groan to detail. I just need a short clip for my donor email. Tim, there's blood on your hands. You want people to die. That good? Cool. Tim, dinner at 5? Yeah. The car deaths I mentioned are terrible stuff. Doesn't seem one seatbelt is ever enough. You must vote for my act so that fewer will cry. Unless, of course, you just want people to die. The carbs, the container, we cannot ignore. Whipped cream's killing more people than ever before. This bill would be passed and be ratified if those people that didn't want people to die. Why not weigh all the costs, the effects, the results? Empathize with each other as if we were adults. Use our brains to craft arguments, not vilify. See that freedom's a traitor.
You want people to die!
I tried.
There's something sacred about the first sip of the day, before the emails, before the craziness, before the headlines, before the world starts asking for your attention, demanding it, really. There's a brief pause that belongs only to you, and that's where Kindred Harvest lives. They handcraft their teas with whole leaves, real flowers, roots, and spices. No dust, no fillers, no natural flavor labels disguising what's really inside. You see every ingredient before it meets the water, and you can taste the difference at every cup. Each bag is made from plant-based materials, so you're not steeping plastic or microfibers into your morning. And every blend is created and packed right here in the U.S. by people who still believe these small things, done right, actually matter. Whether it's a bright, lively cup to greet the sunrise or a soothing herbal blend that helps you slow down a little bit at night. Kindred Harvest is, you know, the type of company that has what you need. This is an American quality. We're talking about Kindred Harvest. They cultivate goodness daily. You're going to love this stuff. It's kindredharvest.co, kindredharvest.co. Use the code STU for 20% off. Kindredharvest.co. The promo code is Stu.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
I want to bring in Jennifer Say, former brand president of Levi's and founder and CEO of XXXY Athletics. Great company. You should definitely go get some of their stuff. Jennifer, thanks so much for coming back on the program.
Thanks for having me, Stu. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I wanted to get your reaction to this Sydney Sweeney thing, mainly because you're someone who's had to have uncomfortable conversations with the media from time to time. It's funny because here she is trying to do a normal interview about her movie with, I think it was GQ, and she's asked about the jeans controversy that erupted a couple months ago. I want to play the clip and get your reaction to it. Here it is.
Is there something that you want to say about the ad itself, the Sydney Sweeney has great jeans? Do you have...
The ad spoke for itself.
You think the ad spoke for itself? Yeah. Okay. And the criticism of the content, which was basically that maybe specifically in this political climate, like white people shouldn't joke about genetic superiority. Like that was kind of like the criticism, broadly speaking. And since you are talking about this, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about that specifically.
I think that when I have an issue that I want to speak about, people will hear.
One to 10 scale. How's that response, Jennifer?
100.
Yeah.
I've watched it so many times because it's just pure. It brings me joy. It's so entertaining. I mean, first of all, the questioner, I can't remember her name, Catherine or Katie or something. Catherine Stoffel. When I was in college, I went to college in California. We called this co-op speak. It was like this sing-songy with a million like added phrases to try to soften the blow of what she's trying to say. I was wondering if maybe like kind of just specifically, I might want to give you the opportunity to maybe, I mean, only if you want to. It's like, just ask the dumb question. Why did you make the ad? Do you stand by the ad? And she, earlier in other parts of the interview, she was sort of giving her the chance to disavow the fact that Trump tweeted it and to say that she hated that and she hates Trump because I'm a good person just like you. Like, that's what she wanted, right? And Sweeney just refused. And she was so okay just sitting in the silence after a very simple one-word answer. No, it's brilliant. I mean, her message discipline is better than pretty much any candidate I've seen running for any political office.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It is really impressive. And I think like there's that thing that goes around every once in a while. My wife is always big on this where like she says that no is a full sentence.
Because
sometimes people ask you to do things. They want you to go to their charity fundraiser. They want you to go pick up this thing or help them move or whatever. And just no. You don't need to explain it. Just no. Sydney Sweeney seems to be completely comfortable with that whole concept.
She completely is. She just says, no, I'm not answering it. But it's more than that, Stu, because she also refuses to accept the framing of the question with her very simple no. Mm. I mean, I'm using no to sort of summarize what she says, because the questions are all completely biased. The questions are all sort of giving her an opportunity to say, no, I'm not a Republican and I don't like Trump and I feel terrible that I made this ad. That's the sort of leading question that was asked. And she just completely rejects the framing. See, I would have fallen prey. I would have gotten an argument. You know?
You? No, no.
I would have gotten in an argument. I would have said, I reject the framing of your question. This wasn't what it was about. But hers is more powerful. She just simply sits there with total confidence and says, when I have something to say, you'll know it.
It's great. I mean, there is a moment when she's going through her 9,000 disclaimers, because that is another remarkable part of it. She's like almost afraid to ask the question. But there's a moment where when all that's happening,
she's trying to seem like her friend. Yeah. That's what that is. She's trying to seem like her friend.
Yeah, which is really irritating, because I don't think she is her friend. But like, she's just kind of like walking her through that. And like, other people are saying, it's not me, but wouldn't you like to address? I want to give you the opportunity to address. All that's going on. And you just see Sydney Sweeney's face, and it's just utter disdain. She is just like, she knows what's coming. She knows that she has no interest in going down this road. And she says everything with her face before she even answers.
But it's so calm, her face. I mean, she says it. I mean, she looks at her with complete disdain. But again, my face wouldn't have been able to do it so well. I mean, I would have like made a vomit face or something like that. Like, I would have just been more over the top. And it's her poise and stillness that is so powerful in the moment. It's amazing.
Isn't that kind of what we want out of actors and actresses? First of all, you could tell she's a good actress. Like, she really is actually, I think, doing a good job there, like knowing what's coming and keeping it together like that. But also, like, that's all I want. I don't need every actor or actress to come out and say, hey, I approve of every COVID policy you approve of, Stu. I don't need that. I don't need, I agree with you on minimum wage and low taxes or whatever. Like, what I want is just someone who's going to be able to be confident in themselves, not necessarily bug me with all their political opinions. Sometimes it's okay to hear that stuff, but like, I want someone who's going to be able to do the job that they're trying to do. And in this case, it's act. So, inserting a political persona in front of that actress facade actually hurts her real job.
It does. And she's essentially saying, because she doesn't take a position, she just says, I'm not going to engage this question. I'm not going to take a position. If I am going to take one, you'll know it. She doesn't take responsibility for who follows her or who likes the ad or what politician gives her a thumbs up. That's not her responsibility. She made an ad. And by the way, the ad, she looked sexy, looking hot in a pair of jeans. Looking hot in a pair of jeans will sell any product, not just jeans. Let's be clear. I mean, you know, Cindy Crawford in a pair of cut-off jeans in the 80s sold Pepsi. That just sells stuff. It's just the way it is. And we all know it. And by the way, she wasn't barely dressed. She was fully covered. She was making a joke. She was in on the joke. She was laughing through it. When she says eyes up here, it was utterly charming, and every normal person liked it. And everyone who was hysterical, not to rehash that part of it, but she just sort of rejects the idea that she has to take a side. That's the best part. And that's what you're responding to. You're saying, I don't need her to take a side, just do your job and do it well. And that's what she does. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. And this is on the heels, I believe, of Jennifer Lawrence saying something similar. Are you aware of this? Where she spoke about, I'm just not going to weigh in anymore because I don't make a difference. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that's great. Like, I actually really, I really like those comments from Jennifer Lawrence. We talked about it a little bit last week. It's like, I think the approach is maybe to say like, oh, she finally learned her lesson. And I think that's true. She was kind of like had to like run into a wall just trying to speak out to learn this lesson. But like, that's okay. Sometimes you make mistakes. And if you come out there and you say, hey, I'm wrong. I was wrong on this. I'm realizing like, people actually have their own minds and I don't get to insert my mind in front of their voting preferences. Like, that's something that, takes some time maybe to realize for some people. Good. Like, that's what we would like. And that's all we're asking. We're not asking that much, are we?
No, not at all. We see movies. We even buy brands that take positions because sometimes it's the best product, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I stopped buying Nike for a load of reasons. Mm-hmm. Manufacturing, their manufacturing approach in China, et cetera. But sometimes you don't really have other choices, but we, I think, have a high degree of tolerance. And I do think that we're the big tent party now. And so we're very tolerant, but like, stop rubbing it in our faces all the time. You will push us to the point where we want nothing to do with you, which is how I feel about Nike. Mm.
I also want to address the left is now coming out kind of in a celebratory way, excitedly talking about how Sydney Sweeney's movie, Christie, sort of bombed, I guess, over the weekend. It seemed like more of an indie type of film. Wasn't the typical Sydney Sweeney fare by any means, but it was about a female boxer. And honestly, like when you look at the plot line, I don't know the story, honestly. But, you know, it was a woman. She achieved a lot in her life. She was a victim of abuse. I mean, it seems like the type of thing usually the left would be cheering on. Instead, now because Sydney Sweeney made a jeans ad they didn't like, they're just dancing on the grave of the film.
Well, of course. I mean, they reveal themselves at every turn. I am interested in the movie. I've been reading more about Sweeney now. It's certainly a story I'd be interested in. I feel like it's her moment where the hot girl does the not great looking woman and wins an Oscar.
That is
maybe
a thing.
If the movie's good. Yeah, the Charlize Theron, Halle Berry thing.
Yes.
I am interested in the story. It's about a female athlete. I mean, that's just dumb. They're just so hypocritical. Of course, that's what they're saying. They're cheering and they're probably attributing it to her non-stance, which they're making a stance, right? No one's going to the movies right now, really. That's part of the issue. And if it's an indie film, those films never do big numbers at the box office. We'll see if it's good. You know, it could be an award contender, that kind of thing. I haven't seen it. I'm not going to comment on it. But yeah, of course, they're going to dump on it now because she won't take their side.
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, too, like, you know, it's a movie that is, you know, it's different fare. It's like not what you would expect from her. I think, you know, again, you're right. You know, actors and actresses go through this situation where they usually will at some point in their career go for like a different role and try to change up what people think. You can't just do romantic comedies forever. And she's trying to do something different here. But it's like it's not exactly the formula for big box office numbers to take, you know, what many people think is the hottest girl around and put her and make her not look that good and get hit in the face a bunch of times. Like, that doesn't seem like the greatest formula.
No, this is not Top Gun.
Right.
I mean, this is not like the Friday night date night movie. This is an indie film that film aficionados will want to see that might do the festival circuit, perhaps already did. When she wants a box office hit, she's going to, I don't know, get paired up. Who's the hot guy of the moment? I don't even know anymore, Stu. I'm so out of it. She'll get paired up with him and do a romantic comedy, or she'll, you know, gear up in some superhero suit and look pretty hot in Lycra. I mean, that's what she'll do if she wants big numbers at the box office.
That's the way it works. That is the way it works. As you say, a good-looking woman in jeans, T-shirt, it's going to sell pretty much anything. Jennifer Seck, former brand president of Levi's and founder of CEO of XXXY Athletics. A great brand supporting women, women who are actually women. We didn't even get a chance to talk about. There's a pretty big Olympic decision, right? Jennifer, do you have a couple thoughts on that real quick before we go?
Yeah, I mean, the IOC this morning, I believe, or I saw it when I woke up, the International Olympic Committee, the Winter Olympics are coming this coming February, just announced basically there will be no males competing in women's sports, and they will verify sex status to ensure that no males are competing in women's sports. So that is a huge decision. That's what we've been waiting for. I want to give World Athletics credit. Sebastian Coe made the decision first for track and field, which is the biggest sport, most populated sport in the Summer Olympics. World Boxing did the same thing. So I think they really led the charge, but good for the IOC. There you have it.
Yeah.
And yet, Stu, this will still be considered controversial. Mm. All the major governing bodies at this point, the International Olympic Committee, the US Olympic Committee, and the NCAA are all saying their rule is women's sports are for women. And yet, if you are a professional soccer player, the only one in the league that stands up and says, that's what we need, you will get pilloried by your own teammates.
Yeah, it is very, 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 very strange. But I will say, 3 years ago, I mean, when we first talked, Jennifer, I mean, would you believe that all this would have happened in just a few years? I mean, it has moved really quickly in a positive direction.
It has moved really quickly from a governance and a sort of governing body. But I still am struggling with how the culture has not caught up and how there's only one professional athlete, women's athlete right now that has spoken up on this matter, and that is Elizabeth Eddy on Angel City FC.
Wow.
And she just got dragged by her own teammates, the team captain calling her a bigot and a transphobe and a racist of all things, which has nothing to do with anything. And so that to me is just an indicator that we have a long way to go in the culture, and that's when it will really end. And you know what? Half of all states right now still have males competing in girls' sports at the high school level, at the middle school level. So I want to celebrate, but I also want to be realistic about how much work we still have to do.
Yeah, going the right direction, but I agree there is still work to do. I know XXXY is doing a lot of that work, working hard to make sure that this continues.
We're trying.
For sure, you definitely are. Jennifer Say, brand president of Levi's back in the day, also founder and CEO of XXXY. Thank you so much for coming back on the program. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
A lot of people are saying that Donald Trump got booed there, but to be fair, they probably, it's Washington, D.C., they're probably just booing the Constitution of the United States. That would make sense. Actually, it's interesting because Trump usually does really well in those sporting event type scenarios. That one, not so well. Of course, it's in D.C., so I guess you can't really be surprised by that whatsoever. So there you go, Donald Trump at the game. I don't know, maybe the other thing, too, is you never know. Sometimes you hear that from another part of the stands, and it sounds like, you know, people are clapping, but that one did sound pretty widespread. So I guess considering it's a area that votes like 90% for Democrats, I wouldn't be all that surprised on that. Now, after this, Donald Trump the next day has pardoned top allies who aided to subvert the 2020 election, according to Politico. That's how they phrased that. You know, and everyone was getting riled up about this. This is like the top story in the New York Times, and all everyone was leading with this and all this. None of these people that he pardoned are even charged with federal crimes. It's like literally nothing changes from yesterday to today. I guess in theory, they couldn't be prosecuted for crimes by the next president, which, I mean, there's some evidence to believe that like a Gavin Newsom or somebody, if the next Democrat that gets in there would go after some of these people, like a Rudy Giuliani or whatever. I could see that happening. So I guess there's some utility to that. But generally speaking, these people are not even charged with crimes, unless Donald Trump was thinking his own DOJ was about to charge them. Not much utility to this, at least for a few years. So really probably not that big of a story. Trump is also saying he's going to issue a $2,000 tariff dividend to all except high income people. You know, look, he says people who that are against tariffs are fools, which would make me a fool because I'm not for tariffs. But I've been called much, much worse than that, of course, over the years. He says we are now the richest, most respected country in the world with almost no inflation, any record stock market price, 401ks are highest ever. A dividend of less of at least $2,000 will be paid to everyone. Now, you know, look, this isn't my bag, as you may know. This is not like, to me, I just rather not charge the tariffs and not charge the, what is it, $200 billion in additional revenue. Revenue, remember that word that we used to be against as conservatives, revenue going to the federal government. In other words, a tax increase. So you take a tax increase of $200 billion and then you're going to give $2,000 out to everyone. That's some would call that, let's say you have a normal path of distribution, and then you adjust that path of the distribution of what will we call it? Wealth. Maybe a redistribution of wealth would be one way we could think about that plan. Again, it's not my thing. I suppose if you're in one of these situations, like, you know, where you've been really hurt by these tariffs, and look, it's hard because he wants to say that they're the greatest thing and they're not hurting anybody. So why do we need $2,000 refunds in that scenario? You know, of course, you know, it's true that these tariffs are damaging to a lot of specific businesses. I mean, soybeans have been kind of like the big high profile one, which we've now negotiated to get about half of our soybean sales back to China for what that's worth. It's hopefully going to improve for some of those farmers. But when you look at this at the end of the day, you know, it's not a I mean, certainly if a Democratic president proposed this exact same thing, conservatives would be against it. I don't think there's any doubt about it at all. Not my thing. Trump has been, I will say, consistent about this the entire time. He ran on it. He told people he was going to go at least some far place down this road. So it's not, it's a policy I don't agree with, but he's not being dishonest here. I mean, he has gone farther than I think a lot of people believed, and he still has to deal with this court decision coming up. We will see how that goes. But I think people will people like the stimmy checks. They like getting checks in the mail. Everybody loves them. So I don't know. Maybe this will be a popular proposal even after. They're now saying the latest study was 70% of the tariffs have been passed on to us. So some of it hasn't, to be fair. A little bit less than a third has not been passed on to consumers. And we've seen prices go up, but not like to the point where I would say it's been dramatically damaging to the economy. Now, a lot of this has to do with Trump's other policies are really good, like his energy policies, his lowered gas prices, which has taken off some of the pain from some of those other price rises in other categories. And, we will see where this all winds up. Frankly, I think the courts, there's a good chance they're going to overturn these tariffs, and then we're going to be in a totally weird situation here of trying to figure out how to unwind all of this, but might not. I mean, I think there's a chance he gets through it as well. Also, we have an announcement from Greg Abbott, a re-election campaign here in Texas. He wants a fourth term. I will say, hey, Greg Abbott has done a fine job as governor. Some people around here, not as huge fans. Some of the stuff he's done have been really good. Some of it, maybe not perfect, but again, when you compare it to Northeast governors that I grew up with, he's fantastic, utterly great. I also would rather not have any governor have a fourth term. I think we should just limit that. Term limits for them. We did have Jasmine Crockett, who might run against him or might run in Senate or might just, run her mouth. That'll definitely happen. Here she is running her mouth about Greg Abbott.
You know, our feeble little governor.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't know how to answer the call of the people. In fact, he usually doesn't want to show up and talk to the people.
Of course, feeble. She later previously had called him Governor Hot Wheels. So she just loves going after the fact that the guy can't walk. And I guess that's the most interesting thing about him to Jasmine Crockett. I will say this. She should run. She should run for Senate. She should run for all things all the time. In every election until I die, she should run. Whether she wins or loses, just keep running. In fact, lose all the time. Lose. Continue to lose. And then we can all watch you lose together. There is the slightest chance that Jasmine Crockett could run for something and win. And then let's say if it was governor of Texas and she were to win, I would need to be reaching out to realestateagentsitrust.com because I would need to find out how to sell a home in Texas and how to buy one, I don't know, anywhere else. Look, one of the most stressful things that people ever do is to buy and sell a home. You're dealing with timing and pricing and paperwork and inspections and God knows what else. The difference between a smooth transaction and a one that's very bumpy is a nightmare. And it can really be the difference in your life for months at a time. That's why realestateagentsitrust.com exists. That and if Jasmine Crockett wins and you have to like empty out a state the size of Texas in a few weeks, you're going to need a good real estate agent. It's a free service that connects you to the top agents in your area, professionals that are fully vetted, experienced, and share your values. Not random names from a list. These are the real deal. And you're going to love them. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is a free service to you. Check it out now. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Okay. So here's what happened. You know, back in the day, beauty pageants were, women walking around in bathing suits, being dumb answers to questions or whatever else happened. Things are changing a little bit. Let me introduce you to Ignacia Fernandez. She is from Miss World Chile. She was the winner of the competition. And, just like she sounds basically like every other beauty pageant when, she's talking about thanking people for, winning. She says, "Thank you for the worldwide recognition of my singing, a little piece of my soul that inspires me to keep growing." The woman who sang death metal at the Miss World Chile has just won the competition. Yes. Now, you saw the picture of her. She doesn't look like a person who would be singing death metal. This is her band, Decessus. Now, I would say, if I'm looking at that, it looks like Evanescence. Like, I don't know if it sounds like death metal. And then I heard the clip of her actually singing. This very beautiful girl comes out with this voice. The wonders shall never cease. I would not expect that voice to come out of that girl. But congratulations to Miss World Chile and the incredible voice of Decessus. Blaze TV's newest show, now live. It's Rufo and Lomas. I think they're going to use that song as their theme song now. The new show is called Rufo and Lomas. It just debuted, I think, on Friday. So check it out. It's part of your Blaze TV subscription, blazetv.com/stew.